Good morning, everyone. Zach Arskadden coming to you live right outside the Triangle area in North Carolina. And today is just a great day to be alive. I mean, the world what's going on in the world right now is better than any reality TV show or movie or anything else out there. It's just hilarious to see, in some degrees sad. But it is still very interesting to see what's going on in the world. And if you thought life was boring living in the 21st century, you're just not paying attention. But with that, there are some things I want to dive into. Continue following some storylines that we've talked about yesterday and continue praying on these prayer points that we have to make sure that we're standing up for God's will in this nation. And first off, we'll start out in California. In the West Coast, as we usually do for our friends out in California, we have not forgotten about you. We will not. But, I mean, this is just a great picture. If you heard the story of what happened to Larry Elder, is he had an egg thrown at him by this woman who is wearing this pink gorilla mask. And if you thought politics was just for nerds, man, how politics have evolved. So, and I don't want to get into this story. You've probably all seen it and heard about it. But what's also interesting is that what's kind of the being missed here is that his security detail got shot with a pellet gun and got verbally abused. And she ended up hitting this gentleman back here. And there was also something that's been said and has continued to be said is that the reason Larry Elder doesn't need to run is because the House and the Senate, State Senate in California is 72% Democrat, and there's really no reason he's not going to get anything done. And I think that line of thinking is very, very disastrous for not only California, but the country. Oh, Democrats control it, so there's no reason for you to run. There's no reason for you to try. There's no reason for you to do anything. Look, even if he doesn't win, it shows that there are people who disagree with how the state is being run. If anything, because it's not just Republican led. There's Kevin Pathrath, who is actually leading in the polls above Larry Elder, who's a Democrat who considers himself a JFK Democrat, which I have a disagreement with on that on based upon his policies. But my issue here is we need to continue to intercede for God's will in the California governor's recall election, because there's something going on there that I think not only California needs to listen to the Lord on, but also the country of looking at where we're potentially headed if we as a nation don't learn what the Father's heart is on matters in life. And somebody put here, I'm trying to see here, who said this? Yes, this is a great quote, Matthew. Is there's more reason to try? Absolutely, because everything is one-sided. Is right now is a reason to try to stand up and take back or add in more of a balance of powers and stop having everything being partisan. There needs to be more of a bipartisan effort, which can cause frustration, but it also causes for compromise and unity to happen. And I think we have to, as a nation, get back to that. We have a long road ahead of us to get back there. But again, we want to continue praying for God's will in this situation. And this line and this thought of, well, Democrats control it, so there's no reason to try, I think is a very, it's a very naive way of thinking and looking at this, because at the end of the day, you need both sides. You need a balance of powers to be able to make sure you're not going to the extremes of either side. So we want to continue praying for that. And then secondly, we want to point out something good happened in Tucson in Arizona, basically for the whole state. Is you had in the city of Tucson, they were going to implement a vaccine mandate for government workers. Well, the attorney general came in and said, no, you can't do this. They ultimately turned that the vaccine mandate for public workers was illegal, not only because he said so, but because of a executive order signed by the governor. And then also it's going to contradict state law that is about to go into effect within a month. Also, there's still private businesses have their own basically room to do what they want for now. So we'll see there. The reason I point this out is there's some semblance of sanity, not only in Arizona, but in this country, besides Florida and Texas, is there are other states who have sanity and don't want an overreach of governments, even within the government and in the private sector as well. So something positive to look at and be aware of in the news right now. And then I want to talk about this is for a couple of reasons. There was a report that came out that the CDC is obviously they've been pushing for tighter mask guidance. But the reason it is because they've received pressure from two teachers unions. And I'm not going to go through what the teachers unions were saying, but it's the simple fact that two teachers unions can put pressure on the CDC to increase mask guidance in schools that I think is more of a problem to begin with. But let's also take a step back and look at what they're pushing for. So the CDC is issuing tighter mask guidance. Again, these are not laws. These are not mandates because the CDC is not an elected government body who has the authority to be able to pass such rulings. That has been challenged in the court. That has been shown within the court system with the eviction moratorium that the CDC tried to implement, that is unconstitutional, which is why eviction moratoriums are drying up right now. Now, local and state levels can do maneuvers to try to extend that if they want, but they'll also not be receiving funding, which is why they're drying up. And this is the same scenario in this situation, is at the local level, you have, as a parent, have more of authority over how your local school boards apply these recommendations or guidelines from the CDC. And in areas where you're seeing the parents rise up, they're gaining the authority over the school boards who would go with the CDC's recommendation. But because the parents are standing up and saying, no, enough of this, we don't want this. And it's not only with the mask mandates. It's with CRT. It's with basically teaching your kids sex education in the second and third grade. I mean, like there's a reason the Lord wants parents to be involved in their children, mainly because, you know, scripture tells us that they're the ones who are responsible for discipling their children. That's one way to be able to disciple nations is disciple your own nation, disciple the kids in front of you. But I digress. And so the two organizations that need to be aware of and understand is the National Education Association, which we've reported on some of the things they've done before. And the reason this got found out was from a Freedom of Information Act request. Again, another way for things to be exposed in the public from the group Americans for Public Trust. It's basically a watchdog. And they went through, the CDC was angry, and then ultimately, because of conversations with the White House that this teachers organization is having, they released a much more relaxed statement, which basically said the same thing in just a nicer summed up tone. But also before that, the CDC was pressured by the federations, by the American Federation of Teachers, to basically do the same thing. So you have the top two teachers unions who are pushing the CDC to do certain things, and also know that the AFT is one of the top donors to the Democratic Party. Just reporting the news there. And the AFT basically goes on to say that, well, they also met with parents' organizations. And they talked to teachers and two teachers unions. But at the end of the day, look, I point this story out to say that this is what these teachers unions are trying. And we need to pray that parents continue to rise up and get involved with their children's schooling. Because at the local level, you have more authority, you have more control about what actually happens within your local public and private and homeschool areas. There's a reason there is a mass exodus from the public school sector right now. In North Carolina alone, there is a 62% increase in homeschooling. Now, it's only like a 2% decrease from public schools, but they're shifting to homeschooling, to private schools, to charter schools. They're going elsewhere. And what happens with that, and this is why teachers unions don't like this, is because when kids pull out of the public schools, so does their funding. There are still ways for them to get tax revenue, but they do lose funding partially when kids pull out of these schools, especially in areas where there's charter schools, because then the money follows them there as well. So parents, this goes back a year ago. We had dreams and prophetic about this, about parents needed to rise up. At first, they didn't want to, but they understood that they needed to and they would. So let's continue to pray for that as we're back into school now. It's very important because we've seen what happens to a generation when parents aren't involved. And look, things were supposedly set up to where we could trust the system, but obviously it wasn't. You have bad actors who get in, who come in and have indoctrinated a generation, portions of a generation, to think some of the things they do, to where they think they can run around with a gorilla mask and throw eggs at politicians because they disagree with them on policy issues rather than communicating with them and talking to them. So it's not only short term, but it's long term as well. All right, moving on. Something to watch out for today is the press secretary for the White House, Paskey, talked about yesterday when asked about how there's supposedly new guidelines, mandates on the vaccine that will most likely, it sounds like, affect those, whether they're vaccinated or unvaccinated. And the president, Biden, is supposed to give a speech to determine what's going to happen in the future moving forward. Meanwhile, this is the same time where Fauci is – more proof is being shown that Fauci was a part of gain of function with the NIH and the Wuhan lab. And when asked about any of these new influences from a reporter, she said the question was asked is said, and will any of these new steps influence the average American's day-to-day life? Should we expect any new mitigation recommendations, as an example? And this is Paskey's response. She said, it depends on if you're vaccinated or not. Interesting. And she continues to go on. There are six steps the president is announcing. There will be components, as I noted and you noted. Some of that will be related to access to testing. Some will be related to mandates. Some will be related to how we ensure kids are protected in schools. And we'll have more. We'll preview more tomorrow as all the pieces are finalized, but there will be new components that, sure, will of course impact people across the country, but we're also all working together to get the virus under control, to return to our normal lives. As I know, many people, I'm sure, are looking forward to hearing what the president has to say. Again, for an administration who said that they would unite this country, they are doing everything to divide this country. And one of the ways they're talking about dividing this country is based upon whether you're vaccinated or not. Not talking about how parents and the individual has a right to make their own decision to do what's best for them. It's just, we're going to make this decision for the country, and we know what's best. We want to continue to intercede for the Lord to rise up in the White House and that his enemies be scattered. Because right now there needs to be somebody in the White House who helps this administration understand and deal with what's going on. And I want to play this clip from Joe Biden something he said yesterday, which was, this has happened before, but this is scary that this is continuing to happen. It's a short little clip here on his, after he gave a speech to labor unions. So I'm going to play this.
Educated me. You brought me along, and you've always been there. Now, I'm supposed to stop and walk out of the room here. I'm going to stop, but with your permission, I'm going to walk into the room because I want to say hello.
So the he's ending his speech talking about how, you know, thank you for coming. You've always, you know, taught me so much. And then the line of, I'm supposed to stop and walk out of the room, because he's being handled. He's being told what to do. The fact that the president of the United States is being handled and being told what to, I understand other presidents, their schedules dictate what they can and cannot do. But the fact that he knows, and he says this multiple times, you know, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to do that. You just say, hey, I got to go. Oh, I'm the president. Hey, that they can wait. Like, you're the president of the United States. Like, you dictate how your schedule goes at the end of the day. But again, this is where we need to continue to intercede that the Lord rise up in the White House and that somebody there gain the understanding that this has gone on long enough, and we need to really we need to stop taking advantage of this man. Because we have prophetic on that look, they're taking advantage of him in his moments of weakness and in these moments. And so with this this push to have more guidance and everything, I want to point out a story. This is not a prayer point. This is not anything. This is just reporting the news. I think this is very, very interesting to see that this has happened within the last 2 weeks. So understand this, within the last 2 to 3 weeks, actually, things have happened. So if you've ever heard of the man, Alex Berenson, he used to be a New York Times reporter, and he's written plenty of novels, nonfiction books, and he runs it's called Substack, basically a blog that is called Unreported Truths. And he's been following this whole pandemic, looking at regulations, looking at scientific studies, etc. But on August 28th, he put out a tweet about this vaccines, and Twitter basically removed him, and he's starting a lawsuit. So in all his research, this is what he has found and what he's potentially going to use in a lawsuit. So on August 26th, he lays this out very shortly. On August 26th, the CDC defines a vaccine as a product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease, protecting the person from that disease. He talks about how they are administered, and then vaccination is the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. I'll come back to that. So that's what, on August 26th, the CDC defined as a vaccine and vaccination. On August 28th, he put out a tweet that says, in regards to this current vaccine, that it does not stop infections or transmissions. Don't think of it as a vaccine. Think of it at best as a therapeutic with a limited window of efficacy and terrible side effects profile that must be dosed in advance of illness. And we want to mandate it. Insanity. This is his opinion, but I'm just reporting this out there. First Amendment, he has a right to say what he wants. This is not inside anything. This does not do anything. Obviously, Twitter put out this tweet is misleading. And then they ban him. And then on September 1st of 2021, the CDC changes its definition of what a vaccine and vaccination it does to a vaccine being a preparation that is used to stimulate the body's immune system response against the disease. Before, let's go back to before, is it a product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease, protecting the person from that disease? Now they have changed it within the matter of days to being a preparation that is used to stimulate the body's immune system response against a disease. Now, Where is this coming from, Zach? This is coming from, if you can see here, the CDC.gov, where he took screenshots on his phone. He's going to use this in a lawsuit. And then to the vaccine, rather than it being something that produces immunity to a specific disease, it now produces protection from a specific disease. So getting off on a quote-unquote technicality, his lawyers are saying they're going to have a field day. I point this out there for the very purposes of saying that the definition of thing, words matters. And right now, people and organizations around this country are trying to change definition of basic things. Bill Clinton, and it started with Bill Clinton. Define what the definition of is. Are you joking? That same ilk, thought process, spirit has been coming down. So I just point that out as news. Take with it what you want, but understand this is happening right now in our very eyes. This is Orwellian. This is specifically what George Orwell said would happen in when he wrote 1984. That is the exact thing that he wrote. Okay, I digress. Yesterday, we talked about this whole spending bill and how in order to pass a spending bill, they're going to have to pass the debt, increase the debt ceiling. Because Janet Yellen understands what's going on. She has warned that we're going to run out of cash, and I'll get to that here in a second specifically. So Nancy Pelosi has since come out and said that with this $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill that they're trying to write first and then push through in the matter of weeks, which is insanity just on the outstart of it, is she's saying, well, we're not going to put anything within this bill that says we're going to raise the debt ceiling. But what she does say is that lawmakers have several options in the coming weeks and that she's not going to commit to attaching it to the bill. Now, you have 46 out of the 50 Republicans in the Senate saying that they will not, with this bill, increase the debt ceiling as over 100 House Republicans. You're going to need Democrats to stand alongside this. Because even with these numbers, you have four Republicans go with the Democrats, they can pass it based upon the reconciliation process. And so the reason this is becoming an issue is because I'm going to point this out again, is Janet Yellen on yesterday warned the United States could hit its debt limit by next month. She supposedly, we talked about it before about how, she called for this back in July. And ultimately what this does is this kicks the can down the road. And by kicking the can down the road, this falls into exactly the dream with Bernie Sanders of having it cost the next three to four generations. It'll cripple the next three to four generations. With this alone, we're already – with where the debt it is at right now at $28.5 trillion, we're already one to two generations down the road. Basically – we're reaching into the pockets of our children and grandchildren and saying, yeah, we're going to take your earnings and we're going to spend them now. Rather than being patient, living within our means, getting our balanced budget under control, we're going to steal that. And I want to point this out because they're going to use the people who could potentially be hurt most by the fact that without the debt ceiling being raised. She talks about, should the debt limit not be increased, according to her estimates and the CBO's estimates, funding for Social Security, Supplemental Security Income, and Medicare will likely be halted. Those are the people who live paycheck to paycheck, who need Medicare to be able to have health insurance. And look, I'm not demeaning them. It's just, this is who they're going after. This is where the pressure is going to be played. This is where people are using people's circumstances to play politics here. And there's a host of issues that are at play here. But and the reality is they're going to use the people who are the most vulnerable to play politics, to try to push an agenda. And there's multiple ways they could do it, but this is what they're trying to do. And don't forget this. Is Janet Yellen was head of the Fed back when Obama was in office. She could have done something about this back then. She did the same thing she's doing now. Kick the can down the road, increase the debt limit, the debt ceiling, so she can continue to play around with interest rates, continue easy spend, basically creating money, printing money. And it's interesting. There's the analogy of don't send a dog clean up its own poop. Look, you're literally, or throw up, however you want to, you're literally sending the same person to clean up the mess that they were a part of creating. Don't forget that. Like, she's not just a new player in the game, just trying to come in and clean things up. Is she was a part of the process all along the way, pushing for this same spending policies and things that are happening. And as continued, and as we've said before, and this is why we're praying, is he is considered a moderate Democrat. Joe Manchin has reportedly said he will not support more than $1.5 trillion of the $3.5 trillion in the upcoming spending package that Democrats are trying to pass through, which is a great thing. And also Kyrsten Sinema in the Senate. And there's 9 Democrats who have come out who have said they will not push for the combination of the $3.5 trillion and the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bills, quote unquote. Infrastructure bills. So our prayer here is, in all this mess and all this spending, is that both Democrats and Republicans in the Congress and Senate, that these leaders stand against a spending agenda that God has shown us will cripple the next 3 to 4 generations. And right now is the most crucial time, as we talked about yesterday. Now, Bernie Sanders knows that right now is the most important time for this stuff to get passed, because there is no politics that are being played. It is just, what do you want to do? The slate is clean, and you have 4 to 5 months to try to get something done. And they're going to try to do it any way possible. So I say all that, and I want to close with this. So we see the news. We're sober. We're aware about what's going on. But there's a book I've been reading. For those in Shreveport-Bossier who've been going to Christian Center, it's a book by Dr. Bill Hammond, and it talks about the 70 reasons for speaking in tongues. And at the end of the book, he goes on and talks about, and I want to read this. This is very, very interesting, because this shows the power of how our prayers can really influence not only this nation, but other nations in order for them to get the gospel of the kingdom and salvation, whether we're able to travel or not. This is just one of the steps in the right direction that we can take. And he talks about how, and I'm reading directly from the book. He says, when I was a speaker at the Azusa Street Continental, researchers announced that more than 600 million Christians have received the gift of the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues. If just 1 million of those would dedicate at least 30 minutes a day to the Holy Spirit for praying in their spirit languages, we could begin to change the world. Tremendous power would be released in the church worldwide, and the kingdom of God would be demonstrated in every nation as a witness to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to talk about how, in this book, you know, you can gain all the knowledge in the world, but unless you gain the heart and the importance of why we need to continue to pray, and specifically for this book, and for us here to pray in tongues and intercede for not only ourselves, our nation, but for others, for salvation to come, for light to be spread, for the gospel of the kingdom to be spread, which is part of our destiny from the foundations of this country, is a simple act of just praying in tongues. Now, whether you agree with that or not, theologically, there's a great book for you to read if you don't understand that or have been taught otherwise. But even if you don't pray in tongues, prayer is one of the most powerful tools we have. And Ephesians talks about our battle's not in flesh and blood, but in power. It's in the spirit, paraphrasing now, but I want to close with that. It is, this is why we're here, to pray not only for our own comforts, but it's so that in situations like in Afghanistan, in Iraq and Iran, in Syria, in the Middle East, in China, in Europe, in America, in South America, in Canada, everywhere, that those who have not heard the gospel of the kingdom or have and have had bad experiences, that they would be able to be touched by the Holy Spirit to be able to get back on the wall and stand for this kingdom purposes. Because at the end of the day, this is about souls and their eternal destiny. And we here want to not just make sure we're talking politics and understand politics. It's that we have an eternal purpose to bring hope. And right now, as you're seeing in the pandemic, where people have more anxiety and depression because they're isolated, they're not able to be around people, it is where they need it the most. And what we know we can do for sure right now is the simplest of 30 minutes a day at least, is to pray for them and to pray for God's will to be done on this earth. So with that, I close. I thank each and every one of you for following with me. Those who watch via replay and listen on podcast, it is an honor to have you guys stand with us as we continue to pray. Again, I will put the prayer points in the comment section and in the show notes for those who listen on podcast. And I will be back tomorrow to close out this short week. Blessings. Love you guys. See you tomorrow.